position number 10419, rule 2.
Brigadier May, reel 2. Where was the French club, Brigadier?
In Beirut. Just before the armistice, there was an interesting incident when I was picking a banana. And I looked up and saw it was well, apparently one of our aircraft. And that is to say, I checked that it had roundels. And of course, the French roundels were red outside and blue inside, and it was very difficult to see them in the bright sunlight. And while I was picking this banana, I can remember that the fellow shot at me, and I thought this was a very, very unfriendly act. And then I realized he was a Frenchman. And so it was not all that easy.
Did you get many Vichy French coming over, changing over after the armistice?
As far as I can remember, very few came over. Because although they'd all known each other at Saint-Cyr and or wherever before the war, they wouldn't come over. And then we went back to the...
What happened to you following the armistice, Brigadier?
Well, I then went on the staff. First of all, to Jerusalem. And I think I better explain the circumstances. We only had two regular officers at that time who were suitable or considered suitable. And the other stuttered or stammered very badly. And so he wasn't considered suitable and was later killed in Tobruk. And I was sent... First of all, to Jerusalem, and then Pal Force, headquarters Pal Force, and then I was sent to Brumana, headquarters 9th Army, with General Jumbo Wilson commanding, who had been our brigadier in Blackdown, or before the war.
Do you recall which, about what date was this?
It would be about August 1940, I think.
And what were your duties as a staff officer?
Well, I was G2 Ops, and G2 operations, and I can well remember that at the King David, which was our headquarters in Jerusalem, every evening I used to look across the old city to the mountains of Moab, and as the sun came down, it all went pink. And then I moved up to headquarters 9th Army and at Brumana, as I've already said. And General Jumbo Wilson was in command, and he used me a lot. to send me out all over the place to look at the fences. And I made myself very unpopular by saying I thought that a lot of the defences were not suitable. And he merely grunted and said, well, you wouldn't use them yourself, would you? And I said, no, I would hate to occupy them. And the people who had made them were not very pleased.
What rank were you at this time?
Well, I was a temporary major this time, and
what was your opinion of Jumbo Wilson as a soldier and a man?
I thought he was a great chap, and he very interestingly used me during the offensive when he asked me what I thought of the situation, and I said, well, railheads at somewhere. I didn't know that railhead had been moved. And I said, well, they must have difficulty with supplies. And he was fairly interested. And it was about that time that a reserve guards officer came in and said he was in the Druze Legion. And he said to me, what we want is gentlemen that speak Arabic. And Jumbo Wilson growled at him, does any gentleman speak Arabic? And he let that chap know exactly what he thought of the Druze Legion and him in particular.
After 9th Army, where did you move to then, Brigadier?
Well, I became Brigade Major of the Parachute Brigade. Later, General Sir John Hackett, who was then a Brigadier, became Brigadier of the 4th Parachute Brigade, which was formed of a battalion from India and two other battalions, one of which was Sussex. And the battalion, the brigade, I'm sorry, was in the canal zone, and I said to Brigadier Hackett, as he then was, I think we'd better do a parachute course. And he said, I've arranged for one next week. And so we did our course, and with virtually no training, and became parachutists. We also had to double up for security purposes for an airborne division. And so we used to use blue paper, and I used to sign Major for Lieutenant Colonel on letters and orders.
Um, What kind of training did you have to do to, in effect, become a parachutist?
Well, we virtually did no training at all. That's why I reckon I've had my two hip operations, because we came in like a ton of bricks.
So literally just thrown in at the deep end?
I think so. We shortly afterwards had some non-oscillating chutes sent out from England, and I said to the brigadier, I think we'd better look at these things, because we'd had a lot of stuff sent out that wasn't 100%, and they were like a pendulum coming down, and I said, those are no good to us, anyhow.
Did you lose many people in this rather crude introduction to parachute work?
No, we didn't. Perhaps I could come on to that later.
What happened next, Brigadier?
Well, we then moved up to Palestine, where we parachuted onto ploughed up land, and then we did an invasion of a mock invasion of Cyprus, and then we
What role was it envisaged that the parachute brigade would play in the Middle East, Brigadier?
Well, as a parachute force, we formed a threat to the Germans, and so were obviously in support of 8th Army. About this time, the North African invasion took place, and two brigades of 1st Airborne were amongst them, and we went over to join them as the 3rd Brigade, and it was then that we first met Texan pilots, because they dropped us, and before the Sicily invasion, we weren't going to be used in that, thank goodness, because they dropped most of the people in the wrong place. And perhaps I shouldn't say that. Then we went over to see 8th Army headquarters in Sicily, and
with the Italian invasion, Brigadier, I believe you said you went into Taranto. In what role?
Well, we went in as 4th Parachute Brigade, as a part of the invasion, And we went over in Penelope, one of the most famous ships in the war, and when we got into Taranto Harbour, HMS Abdiel was following us in and was sunk by one more click on the thing, on the mine. And this resulted in us having no artillery, as all the artillery was loaded on the mine-laying cruiser. And we pushed on with a miscellaneous force. And I can well remember Popsky was under command. His first signal back, Bari liberated, brewery working. Incidentally, his name really was Penyakov, and Chan Hackett, when in charge of raiding forces in Cairo, had christened him Popsky.
And he was a Polish commander, was he not, Brigadier?
Yeah. Well, then we got to near Gioia del Colle, and we advanced as far as that, and General Hopkinson, who commanded the division, came up to see us in Olive Grove. And about this time, I had suggested to my brigadier that we reversed our bearings as they made a less conspicuous aiming mark, and as we were being shot at by the Germans fairly hard. And we went into a wood and an olive grove, and they were firing at us very hard, and General Hopkinson came up with his AQ, who was a guards officer, Colonel Goshen, and we had with us a Lieutenant Colonel and the Brigadier and myself. And then General Hopkinson decided to go through this olive grove, and shortly afterwards he was hit through the head, and we carried him out, that is to say, a brigadier, two lieutenant colonels, and a major, and we were shot at all the way. And well, he was dying, and he died shortly afterwards.
What happened next, Brigadier?
Well, we moved on a bit further up the coast, and then the brigade went back to England, and I rejoined the battalion, who had been decimated in Kos.
And about what date was this that you rejoined the battalion?
I rejoined the battalion early December at Mina, outside Cairo, near the pyramids.
And what state did you find in the battalion in?
Well, they were very short of men, and we had to get anybody we could. reinforcements, and it was because of this that I was able to rejoin the battalion. And if we got to whatever the figure was by a certain date, we would then be saved as a battalion. And we reached that figure by scraping the barrel and pulling everybody back off the staff. It was shortly before we moved up that the Polish brigade mutinied, and we were put in charge of the operation to
What position did you take up with the battalion when you rejoined it, Brigadier?
I was second in command of the battalion at that time, and I talked about the Greek brigade. We managed to get them to lay down their arms, and they had a very odd structure. The commanding officer, if the commanding officer was royalist, the second in command was communist, and so on. And as a result, they never really saw eye to eye. Anyhow, we managed to get them to lay down their arms, and then we went over to Italy and joined 10th Indian Division.
Where were they at this time? Where had the Italian campaign got to?
Well, they were near Ortona, and we were on the Adriatic side for that period.
Do you know what date this would be?
It was about April.
1944,
yes.
What were the conditions and the terrain in which you found yourselves?
Well, because we were Indian Division, we were always pushed up the mountains. We never got into a town because it was always considered that Indians were native troops, or words to that effect. And as a result, we went across masses of mountains. And I can well remember an occasion when our 16th Battalion was down below us in the valley. And they went into a town, and being British troops, and we had to go up another bloody mountain.
What happened next, Brigadier?
Well, we moved over to the central sector, and the whole division, and we became
Would you go on there, Brigadier?
Well, the central, we were in the central sector, and in September, I took over from Colonel Hugh Vaughs, just near Arezzo, and then we pushed on up the up Italy, and
were there any particularly unpleasant moments that do stand out for you during your Italian campaign? The conditions must have been particularly bad.
Well, we used to use Jeep as much as we could, and then we used to use mule. And in the winter, we had miles of coir matting for the mules to get up. And this was very difficult because the quartermaster was a chap called Flanagan, who was splendid. He used to bring me a bottle of whiskey occasionally, and I used to give it to the company commanders when they came into a conference, which you made them after the conference, which made them more keen to come into conferences. And I can remember one occasion when we were on a forward slope, and the enemy was, the Germans were looking at us, and I remember going up to one particular point where there were a whole lot of chaps round in front of our hut, and I said, look, the Germans can see you clearly here. And at that moment we got behind the hut and a shell arrived, and
was supply difficult? Did you get supplies through reasonably well?
Well, we had rather a lot of fish, but